It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. And on this morning's show, I'm going to introduce you to a most remarkable person. Now, Bob Delaney, by any account, has had a most unusual life. Not only was he a New Jersey state trooper who went undercover in the 1970s to infiltrate the mafia, but he did this successfully, leading to the arrest and prosecution of 30 gangsters. But while he was doing this, Bob was basically looking ahead, and along the way, he was learning the ropes of what it's involved to become a really good basketball referee. Well, it was a smart move, because Bob was so good as a referee that he eventually made it all the way through high school, college, and right to the NBA, the National Basketball Association, where he worked for 25 years in that league, doing thousands of games, including numerous playoffs and NBA finals. And in addition, Bob has found time to write some books over the years, and he has a new book out that he'll be talking about later on in the hour. That book is entitled Heroes Are Humans, Lessons in Resilience, Courage, and Wisdom from the COVID Front Lines. But a lot of ground to cover. But first up, Bob, good morning. Welcome to the Sports Edge.
Good morning, Rick. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you for getting up early on this Sunday morning to talk about these important issues. And friends, of course, as always, we'll take your calls, comments, questions for Bob at 877-337-6666. And I have to say, Bob, as you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you come on the show is to get your candid thoughts about the alarming national decline of not having enough referees and officials to work high school sporting events. I mean, this has been something, a topic I've talked about for a few years now, and it's from what I can tell, it's all sort of attributed to the obnoxious behavior of the parents and other fans who attend the high school games, and more, quite frankly, the refs are just getting fed up with that kind of verbal abuse, and in some cases, it becomes physical as well. I mean, it just seems that too many parents these days, for whatever reason, have developed a sense of personal entitlement to pretty much yell anything they want at a kid's game. It's also, quite frankly, it's contagious. It's true with even the kids in the stands at the high school games. And their vitriol, more often than not, is aimed at the referees. It's clearly out of control. There's no more sense of civility. And, of course, the referees say, look, I was doing this just to make a few extra bucks, but I don't want to take this. This is terrible. Anyhow, so let's start with that. I mean, we know, of course, the high school coaches also can be the target of angry and upset parents. I've done some shows recently where high school coaches have come on and said they literally quit during the basketball season because the parents are in their face. The coaches decided they don't need that kind of aggravation. So it's a real concern. And Bob, I want to get your thoughts about this. First of all, let me ask you this. I mean, in your long career as a basketball referee, what were your experiences with loud, obnoxious parents and even coaches?
Well, Rick, the subject is one that is an important one to have. I've been a member of the National Association of Sports Officials for decades. And during that time, I served on the board, and at one point, I was the chairman. When you start looking at, and the National Association of Sports Officials looks into all of this, there's a decline in but from the state and national governing bodies, we're hearing 25% to 35% are down in not having officials available. And it's the number one reason in every survey is because of poor sportsmanship, just as you have said.
Yep.
The question to me, in my era and coming up, in the 80s, I didn't experience that as much. You know, there's always going to be a concern for officiating. There's always going to be people in the stands yelling and screaming. But I didn't experience what's being experienced today, being chased their cars, verbal abuse as you're walking off the field and leaving, to the point that crowds start gathering around officials. And to your point, just as these governing bodies are telling us, 25 to 35%, that the average age of a youth high school official is 58 years of age.
Yeah, yeah.
That tells us that young folks are not coming into this.
Well,
and
why,
if they are, within 2 to 3 years, they're quitting.
Yep, yeah, Bob, why? So, okay, I mean, everything you say is spot on, and that's, we know that the average age is in their late 50s, so why are people who have been athletes growing up, maybe they just want to stay close to the game and maybe they aren't going to be a coach or whatever, but why aren't people in their late 20s or 30s or 40s coming into saying, yeah, I'd like to be this. I'd like to try being a basketball referee. What is preventing them? What is it?
Well, they are coming. They are coming in, but what we're finding is that within 2 to 3 years, they're leaving. And because of what we've just spoken about, and this is not just a sports issue in my mind, it's a societal issue. People feel because of Twitter, because of every other social media outlet, that everyone has a voice. I also believe that because of replay, we have gone to, you know, high-def TV replays that everybody sees, and there's an expectation for perfection versus an understanding that officials, referees, umpires are human beings, and there's going to be mistakes made. But people pull out their cell phones now and are showing them at a Little League game to yelling at the referee that the play was correct. These are the kinds of things that are, you know, the unintended consequences of every progress that takes place. Causes for some kind of knee-jerk response. And this is becoming an issue where the assaults that are taking place, this is not just about verbal. There's physical assaults. The NASO, the National Association of Sports Officials, reports 3 to 5 assaults a week on sports officials, youth sports officials, high school sports officials. Because the higher level you go, you don't have this problem as much at the college, high-level college ball, or in the NBA, Major League Baseball. When I was refereeing in the NBA, we had law enforcement security taking us to and from the court, and at times to and from our hotel. So there's a difference of the higher the level, the more security you have.
Let me come back to a point which I think isn't often discussed, and I'm glad you brought it up. My guest this morning is Bob Delaney, a longtime NBA referee, and we're talking obviously about what can we do to stop the decline of high school referees, officials, umpires, you name it, because of out of control fans or parents at the games. But you mentioned that because there is sort of this expectation today that everything is on video, everything can be reviewed, instant replay, which obviously exists certainly at the professional level, even at the collegiate level, but not so much at the high school level. But there's still this expectation that the fans, the sports parents say, wait a minute, you made a terrible call, and you have to obviously, we should go back and review this and correct it because it's affecting my kid, his or her team, and so on and so forth. It's like, you know, for years growing up, you know, coaches basically and parents told their kids that, look, sometimes you play sports, there are going to be some calls that go your way. Some calls are not going to go your way. You just don't stop and throw a tantrum. You have to just move on and continue to play the game because, you know, bad calls are part of sports. But now it's like we've somehow empowered an entire generation of sports parents who, you know, maybe they really do think their kid's going to get an athletic scholarship or maybe turn pro. But they just seem to think, well, this is just wrong. And they're not going to sit for this. They're not going to stand for this. And if it means screaming profanities at a referee or making threats to them, that's the way it goes. And it doesn't seem to be any sort of like way to stop this or to somehow get in the way of this or to say, wait a minute, let's just put this back in perspective.
Yeah, great point, because I think that many folks are seeing what you said. You're getting in the way of a scholarship. You're getting in the way of the path of this athlete becoming a professional athlete. I think people are having unfair expectations, right? There's only so many people that get into the NBA. When I got into the NBA, there were 32 NBA referees. So it's a small group that gets into those kinds of levels. Really what we're missing is providing the opportunities for learning life skills to young folks, right? One of the things that I always say about the great gifts that was given to me from coaches and from playing sports is that I learned how to be humble in winning, be gracious in losing, and how to turn disappointment into motivation. And those are life skills.
Yes, of course.
That come from playing sports.
Yeah. But, I mean, and we all agree with that. I mean, you talk to any parent when they're acting in a civil manner, they'll say exactly the same thing. We want our children to play sports, to basically learn those life lessons, those intangibles that come from playing sports, to how to, as you said, how to be a gracious winner and to understand you have to be exhibit sportsmanship when you lose and so on and so forth. But it's hard to sort of see that when these people go into a basketball gymnasium and now they're going to watch their kid, and all of a sudden all those lessons seem to be thrown out the window because, of course, the kids are watching all this as well. And that's the way they see. They think that's appropriate behavior. Bob, there are a lot of issues, as we know, in terms of sports today, the youth level, high school, amateur. But if there are no referees to work the games, they're just pickup games, which pickup games are fine, but most kids really want to see a winner or loser and have the game officiated the right way. I mean, it's tough, you know?
I agree, Rick. And again, I'll go back to, it's a societal issue. Authority figures are being challenged at every level. I fly a great deal. What flight attendants are being exposed to is horrible as well. Teachers, law enforcement officers. We're seeing this across the board. So sports has always been a microcosm of our society. And that is one of the issues that is now spilling over as well. Authority figures are being challenged and attacked at all times. Being challenged is great. That's fine. The attack part, verbally, you can have what we like to refer to as a heat of the moment response. We tell players and coaches that. You can have a heat of the moment response, a reaction. There's emotion in sports. But when it goes on for a period of time, in basketball, technical fouls, and other sports, there's ejections or yellow cards or red cards, whatever the difference. But when it comes to the point that it's ongoing and it's nonstop, that's where the issues then, and it starts to become like almost a mob mentality in the stands, that one parent leads to another parent. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like this snowball that's going down the hill, and it gets larger and larger and larger. And it's intimidating to think about, like, a little league umpire who's probably 18, 19 years old, doesn't have the life skills to be able to interact with that. And now is being chased to his car. At a year or two of that, they say, I don't need this. I'm not going any further.
Exactly. That's a spot on. And, Bob, I'm talking with Bob Delaney, a longtime NBA referee, obviously about the concerns that so many coaches, parents have about what's happened at our kids' sporting events. And this seems that the backbone of civility is just sort of dissipated into thin air, and that parents and fans come to the games and feel that they have a right to yell and scream anything they want at the referees or at the coaches, and it's become really just untenable. All right, let me take a time out here, Bob. When I come back on the other side of the break, I want to start asking you more specifically, what should we do? Should we empower referees to be able to have more control over the games? Should we do more to try to really reinforce this lesson that if you're not going to behave, you're going to be basically ejected from the gymnasium and for the rest of the season. You know, stuff like that. All right, 877-337-6666. That's our number. When I return, we'll talk more with Bob Delaney. Stay with me.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guest this morning is Bob Delaney, who from 1987 all the way to 2011 spent 25 years working as a top official in the NBA, and we're talking about the diminishing number of refs and officials and umpires at our kids' high school sporting events and what can be done. And we're taking your calls, of course, at 877-337-6666. Bob, you know. I was thinking about this and preparing my notes for the show, and, you know, over just about a little more than 20 years ago, when sports parenting was really just out of control, and there were a lot of communities in the state of Florida, as I recall, and it spread to other states as well, where in an effort to sort of curb the obnoxious behavior of the sports parents at their kids' games, the leagues would make it mandatory that if you wanted your son or daughter to play in this particular, whether league would be basketball or soccer or baseball, whatever kind of sport it might be, and again, this is at the youth level, you had to attend a seminar and then pass a test as to, you know, proper and appropriate behavior at the kids' games. And it was a very, very strict rule. And if you did not, you know, pass the test, well, you could not, you know, go to watch your kids' games. And people would say, well, I have a job or I'm out of town, whatever. And the league officials said, no. If you don't take this seminar and you don't pass the test, you're going to be banned from watching your kid play sports. And it was very effective in terms of trying to, you know, control these parents to try to educate them about how they should behave. Now, that was over 20 years ago. And now we seem to be back where we started. It's just out of control. Now, I know you mentioned about the National Association of Sports Officials. They've recommended, like in some states with like high school football games, which are, you know, usually played on Friday nights, because there's so few high school refs, they have now said, well, we'll move some of the games. So we'll have some games on Friday nights and some games on Thursday nights, just so we have enough referees to work all the games. So my question to you is, faced with all these dire situations, I mean, should high school administrators, states, athletic associations, should they now basically give referees more power to control the fans in the stands? We know that this obnoxious behavior tends to be contagious. So, I mean, I know it's hard enough to work a game if you're a referee or an umpire, but should we now say, okay, you can now basically stop the game on a zero tolerance policy and say to somebody, you're out of here, we're going to stop the game until you leave the building? I mean, is that feasible? Is that worth pursuing?
Rick, let me just preface by saying, as you said, for 25 years, I was an official in the NBA, and a lot of years prior at the youth levels, summer levels. And then after my time running the floors, I was the vice president of referee operation, director of officials for 5 years in the NBA. I was in the management side. Now I'm the special advisor for officiating development and performance for the Southeastern Conference. I say that to share with, from a management standpoint, in looking at these things, I don't think putting more responsibility on the official, the umpire, the referee, is the answer. It has to come from a higher authority, because think about the confrontation that would come.
Correct.
And how out of control it would get if the official was making these decisions. So I think we have to either raise awareness, education and awareness works. We've done it with alcohol, drugs, tobacco, HIV, AIDS. The more we become educated, the better we interact. And also accountability. There has to be accountability for those that are attending the games as well as those that are participating in the games. And that takes strong leadership. And until we get that, we're going to be speaking about this kind of conversation for quite a few years. There has to be an understanding of responsibility. And I would venture to say that if you spoke to the athletes, they would like for their parents to have to be under control. You know, there's always going to be the exception.
Yes.
But I think that's the same thing, right? They're embarrassed by the behavior of family members that are in the stands. So we've got to figure out ways to be able to do it. And what you suggested, yes, sometimes you have to go back to the old school ways of that program of saying you have to go through a program to understand about what your responsibility is as a fan and a parent. Maybe those are things that we have to institute. But I also believe that higher levels of security. I would also add that I think with the technology that's taking place, that we do institute some kind of replay into the high school sports. There's a reality to it, and maybe even at the lower levels. Cell phone, being able to look at it. Think about Major League Baseball. Remember the old school kind of arguments that would take place at home plate with kicking of dirt?
Sure.
We don't see that today. We don't see it today because replay has kind of calmed the waters. And so whatever ways we can figure out how to calm waters, I think we should take steps in that area.
All right. The two quick points you've made here, Bob. One is about the fact that you don't feel it's too much to put it on the shoulders of the referees working the games because, as you said, that may actually enrage and fan the flames even more with parents who are out of control. Okay, that's a valid point. And you said, well, maybe we should just, you know, we need to have a real sort of overview from the school district. And, yes, most schools do now, in fact, have either they have monitors who are usually teachers who basically are there to oversee the behavior of the attendees at the games, or they have actually they'll hire security guards. I know with some high school ice hockey games, they'll bring in actual cops to make sure there's no monkey business going on. But the fact is, so that takes the pressure off the referees and the coaches and so on and so forth. But the follow-up on this is, I think, which is important, is there has to be this sense, like, if you are out of control because you don't like the way a call went down or you're whatever you're saying, yelling at the referees, that when you're escorted out of the building, and it's not like a warning, you don't get a warning. If you're an adult and don't know how to behave at a kid's sporting event, you're just gone. And they just walk you out, and either they just in some cases they have to, they can arrest you, or just make sure you were gone and you're banned. You can't come back into that game for the rest of the season. I think we're at the point now where we've got to really sort of balance this out. Now, the other concern you mentioned about the replay, well, yeah, I guess the technology is there, but again, for high school games, that's going to be, I mean, wouldn't that have the same impact of making other people the call is confirmed? Wouldn't that still enrage the people in the stands if they don't like the way the call is not overturned?
Yeah, but I think what happens is when coaches have challenges, right? I've always been a proponent of coach challenges.
Yeah.
Say in a Little League game, the coach can challenge one or two calls. It kind of creates this environment of, well, at least there's an oversight. And people are always concerned about accountability. And if that coach is able to say, I want to challenge that call, I've never been against that. I think at any level, if we have technology, even if it's a cell phone, to be able to look at it, why not take a look? And it gives people the understanding of, well, at least they're trying to get it right from the standpoint and they're not being stubborn. And you go and look and you say, okay, maybe I was wrong on that play and he was safe. And because I see it right here that I made a bad call. That would calm waters. And we have so much technology available today. I know there's a cost factor that people are always concerned about. But, you know, I think we can take steps to be able to bring other levels of attention to calm waters. And I keep saying calm the waters because as a referee, that's what you're trying to do. You know, we teach officials. We don't yell back at coaches. That's the old school 1950s kind of ways.
Right,
you got to
calm
it down. Speak softer and slower. And use every kind of life skill that you can to be able to have game management taking place. The great referees, the great umpires, it's not about whether they can call balls and strikes or they get every call right. It's about how they interact with the players and the coaches.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by your insights, Bob, and I do want to get some calls. People want to talk to you about this issue as well. But, you know, you said 25 years in the NBA. You were highly respected by not just the coaches, but by the players themselves. And you just said the key in this is knowing how to sort of calm the waters. Now, I mean, you know, certainly you called plenty of fouls in your career, probably plenty of technical fouls. Players were upset. They were angry. But you, looking at some of the video, you had a way to sort of talk to these guys. And these are big guys, obviously, but you had a way to talk to them and sort of calm them down or give them a chance to vent without getting, you know, thrown out of the game.
Yeah. What I share with officials in every sport, when you know you've made a mistake, let them know it. There's times that I've walked over, I've made a call, and you're walking. This is before replay or before any other kind of ways of changing calls. And you know in your heart, you go, man, I kicked that call. And you say to a Chuck Daly or a Doc Rivers on the sideline, hey, Doc, I kicked the call. More often than not, they hit you in the rear end and say, good, get the next call right. And,
yeah.
It's when you say, no, I'm right and you're wrong, it's the dynamics change. Because what happens really in officiating? Folks interpret that call gets in the way of their win. And so I've said to officials in every level of sport, you will truly know when you become a professional, and I believe all officials should be professional. Some officiate professional athletes, but there's a professionalism that's an expectation, is when you learn how to interact with the will to win that's coming at you. They're not angry at you as a person. They're angry at you because of the call that you made. So how can you navigate that? And when you learn how to navigate those kinds of things, you create an environment within the game that there's a trust level to the official. And when we have trust, there's more acceptance as to what the outcomes are.
That's well said. Well said. Let's grab a real quick call. I know Rob from Lake Success is trying to get on the air. Rob, good morning. You're talking with Bob Delaney.
Good morning, Rick. Bob, you know, you're hitting home with my childhood. Number one, my dad goes back to 1952 as far as starting his coaching career. He was a baseball player and as well as an official for many, many, many years. And I grew up in a household. I mean, there was a guy named Lou Eisenstein. You probably know the name from way back.
Yes.
He was an official from the, you know, started in the NBA back in the and college. Very good friends of my dad. You guys are a real fraternity. And I grew up on this kind of a life because my life, my dad was an official. I never really got to see him coach because he started officiating, I guess, probably in the 60s after he kind of finished his coaching career in basketball. But he was a basketball official, and I would always argue with him. And I'd say, Dad, you know, you made a big call. How do these guys do this? Number one, everything you're saying, I lived through, okay, watching him officiate on the football level as well. You guys have a split second to make that decision. Back in the day, there was no replay. We at home as fans and they're listening to the station, and everybody says, bad call, bad call. You're seeing it real time, okay? And my dad would always say that to me. He goes, listen, you don't know how it happened so fast, and you have to make that one split-second decision. So all the props to you and everybody in your fraternity who's done this. I must say that listening to this, thank you so much. But going forward, this is something that we need to get the officials or young kids back in the back into this, I guess, sport, or it's part of sports, because if you could be an official, you're part of the game, you get to learn the sports, you get to be part of the game, you're on the field, and I think that it's not about the money, it's just about getting the opportunity of being part of the sports. And I think the parents on the sidelines, as we talked about for years and years, Rick, this is the biggest problem. The parents are, causing all the issues with officials.
No,
and they don't
question.
Realize how hard it really is. But, I mean, this is just great. I mean, I could go
well,
on,
Rob,
but I want to hear what other people have to say.
Hey, Rob, I just want to offer it to you. Is like you make so many great points. When people would
say I lived it my whole life. My dad would be 92 now, and I'm
over
story.
Say to me about officiating, I said it's like 10 guys in a blender out there at some night. I mean, they're just going around and around and around, and you're trying to. And one of the ways that I was able to strengthen my eyes to be able to see things, I would watch tape on fast forward. So I would click it up a little bit faster so I could still see it, so that when I got back out on the court, the actual playing in real time looked slower to me. That allowed me to make better decisions. Because if you see things slower, you can now have the start to develop and the finish of the play before you make a decision.
Wow. Well, I just want to make one quick point on the officiating on the replay.
Hurry up, Rob. I got to take a break. Right. So, 10 seconds.
No problem.
All right, let me get you. All right, but Rob, thank you again as always for the call.
Thanks, Rob.
And Bob, that's a terrific observation how you work with the video. That is pretty cool. All right, let me take a timeout. We're talking with Bob Delaney. We're talking obviously about the ongoing issue of declining numbers of referees and what can be done to correct that situation. 877-337-6666. You can always find me, of course, on Twitter, and you can always find even more information about sports parenting issues at AskCoachWolf.com. My guest is Bob Delaney. I do want to talk a few minutes with Bob about his new book, which is an important new work, but I do want to get a few more calls in here. Obviously, this is the kind of guest we could talk hours to about what's happening with youth sports and how it affects our kids and obviously the parental behavior. Let's get quickly to Jack Smithland over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning. You're on the fan.
How are you, Rick? And Bob, I'm actually coaching at your alma mater, New Jersey City University.
Well, great, Jack. Thank you.
And I was supposed to come hear you talk about your book, which I already have, and I'm in the process of reading it. It's an amazing book. A lot of praise to you for that book.
Thank you.
You hit home. You hit home to a lot of people with that, and you're absolutely right. The title is just amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, and the title Jack, let me just give the title here, Jack. It's Heroes Are Human, Lessons in Resilience, Courage, and Wisdom from the COVID Front Lines. It's a very compelling
read. The first
read.
Responders. So,
yes.
The first responders. I mean, I'm telling you, I haven't had COVID yet. I mean, I've had flus and everything, but I know people that were actually the frontline people in hospitals, nurses and a few doctors. And, it was just extraordinary what they went through. And your book, from where I am in the book, you hit home with it. So it should be a bestseller.
Thank you.
First of all, it's so sad that we have to actually teach parents how to act, and when you think about that, and I'm going to tell you a quick one, and then because you have a bunch of callers, I remember telling a parent once, and this parent I knew, the kid had come up through the program, and this kid was their kid was a senior at the time, at Fairlawn. I went up to the parent and I said, first of all, when do you think is a good time for you to grow up? And that didn't go over too well, but he took it to me. He didn't take it above me. But I also said, you understand that the calls you're complaining about right now are the same calls you're going to be complaining about if your child gets to college and if that to the pros someday? I don't understand why we just can't understand. And when you talked about Bob having replay at the high school level, great idea. And here's the reason why. It also does another thing. It also evaluates the referees. It's a means of evaluating the referees and teaching them where they made mistakes. And, it's a funny thing because Rick and I have talked about this, and then I'm going to get off. I taught in a school for learning disabled for the handicapped for over 30 years. And I used to have this saying, think before you speak and think before you act. And what you should think about are the consequences. Well, I talked to an AD at one of the local high schools. Instead of having all those inspirational banners up for everybody to see, why don't you make a big banner and put that banner up?
Yes.
And list right underneath what the consequences are.
Right.
And let these people see that. Like you said, the heat of the moment. That's impulsivity.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Adults should be able to control that once that happens. And they don't. So there should be consequences. And I'm going to get off now.
Yeah,
Bob, thank you very much, Jack, for everything you do. And I can't wait to finish your book.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate
thank you, Jack. I just, Jack has great sort of insights and gravitas with this stuff, and I agree with him. A lot of high schools put up all sorts of banners and do the right thing and let the referees officiate, but what they really should put up is those kind of, as he just said, here's the bottom line. I mean, if you don't behave like an adult, like a grown-up, then you will be banished. You'll be gone. There's no reason to sort of sugarcoat it at this point, Bob, and Yeah, I think your point, suggestion about having instant replay at least available to a certain extent at the high school level makes a lot of sense. And as Jack said, yeah, then you get a chance to see if the referees can then see the mistakes they're making and see if it's a continuing pattern.
Two questions I ask referees all the time, the why and the how. Why did you get it right, and how can you repeat it? Why did you get it wrong, and how can we adjust to get it correct the next time?
Yeah, that's right on. That's spot on. Let's go to Martin in Guilford. Hey, Martin, good morning. You're on the fan. Martin, are you there? No, I guess we lost Martin. Let's try to go to Ed Ward over in Elizabeth. Hey, Ed, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Good morning, Ed.
One of the things that you're talking about game management, and I used to coach with the legendary Ted Fury, and one time he shared me a story when he was coaching at St. Peter's, and he had Larry Lembo on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And one time Ted questioned the call, and Larry Lembo, who had many big games, including national championship games, said to Ted, "Ted, if I blew that call, I apologize. I'll give you a better look on the next call." And Ted used to say whenever he heard that, he never really got on Larry after the game. And that, you know, I coach baseball, I coach basketball. A lot of the officials that I see today, there are a lot of good ones, young ones, but a lot of the other ones, they want to get confrontational with the coaches, even mm-hmm. if it's a minor questioning of a call. And that's a problem there if you're looking to get quality officials.
Yeah, I think that's also part of the whole issue as well. And Ed, I'm glad you brought that up. And as always, thank you for the call. Yeah, I do think we have a whole sort of generation of coaches who also become confrontational, sort of like the parents. And that's not good either. So, and they should know better. But, you know, it's sort of a free-for-all out there. And Bob, I am keeping my eye on the clock here, because I do want to talk about your new book, which is, such an important work. And friends, it's called Heroes Are Human, Lessons in Resilience, Courage, and Wisdom from the COVID Frontlines. And Bob, I got to ask you, you've had a sort of a renaissance life with your work as a state trooper, then working undercover, now with the NBA for many years, now working as an officiating consultant with the Southeast Conference. Why did you feel compelled to write this book?
Parallel to all that you've spoken about, I've always been involved with. So, you mentioned about my undercover life, and for 3 years of my life, I became another person, infiltrated the mob, as you said.
Yep.
That's told in my book called Covert, My Years Infiltrating the Mob. But really, I became a student of trauma. I experienced post-traumatic stress, and I wanted to understand more about it, and it drove me. And so I spend time with our military. I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan on numerous occasions, working with our troops around the United States, Asia, Europe, Canada, all over the world, speaking about this subject. And then the second book I wrote was Surviving the Shadows. And the reason I called it Surviving the Shadows, I believe we all have shadows. But I say to folks, never be afraid of a shadow, because in order for a shadow to exist, there has to be light nearby. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to ourselves and to each other to get to that light. And then I was driving by hospitals and seeing heroes work here. And I know anyone that's been given that title of hero, people told me I was heroic in doing, and I was a tough guy in doing the undercover work. And yet they didn't see me at 2:00 in the morning pushing shower curtains back with my gun out, paranoid that they were coming to get me. And so I know that being around people that do heroic work, they don't feel like heroes. They're doing their job. And with the amount of death that was taking place with COVID, I knew that those doctors and nurses were healthcare workers, community, was not feeling heroic. So I wanted to delve into it, and I started looking into it. And I found a lot of parallels to what I did with the military. They have been at war with an invisible enemy, just like our troops are at war with visible enemies. And the emotional, psychological, and physiological responses I wanted to address. And so what I have found is that our healthcare community is very good at taking care of us, but not very good at taking care of themselves. Hmm. So I want to help move that bar, just like we tried to do with the military, to have honest conversations about what we feel. Because folks like law enforcement, firefighters, military, healthcare workers, they have to steal their emotions. They have to hold back their emotions in order to do their jobs. And so at times, they keep all that stuff inside, and eventually it's going to come out some way, somehow. So finding ways to be able to process this is an important part of the work that I like to do with those that are experiencing traumatic experiences.
You know, the term heroes, it's become, I don't want to say, you know, routine or commonplace or pedestrian, but it is overused. And heroes are supposed to be elevated to a much higher, loftier status. And I thought your title, Heroes Are Humans, really sort of zeroes in, as you said, these people who were in the trenches having to deal with an invisible disease like COVID, not knowing, you know, how much they're at risk, if they're going to bring the disease home to their families, their loved ones. And as the book goes through, I mean, these are people, real people, not famous people, but just real people, right. You know, trying to do their job every day the best they can and hoping and praying that they don't end up being a statistic as well. And you know, we like to think that maybe we've somehow turned the tide with COVID in this country. But, you know, the fact is a million people died from COVID in the United States, and there's still people dying every week. And yet, this is one of those rare books that says, let's get into the nitty-gritty and talk about what these people are doing as heroes, basically trying to save our lives. And it's really gripping stuff.
Thanks, Rick. It's really not about COVID. It's about those that serve and put themselves in harm's way in order to make this world a better place for all of us. And what's interesting also is while I'm interviewing doctors and nurses, some of them are officiating. They're officiating as a release. They're doing youth sports as a release to be able to get away from others. And that's what happened for me. Basketball officiating became more like therapy and then opened the door to the NBA. But that wasn't the reason I started officiating. I didn't start officiating to think I'm going to be in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding that sports is therapeutic for officials as well. And we don't want to make it so that people don't want to be there. The beauty of sports is the competition that takes place between two teams. And then there's another team that's out there, the officiating team. And they are working as hard as those two teams that are competing. And if people can have an understanding to that and a little bit more of an understanding that they're human beings and they're going to make mistakes, there's going to be calls that are missed. The larger percentage of the calls are correct.
Yeah, well, that's true, of course, but nobody ever wants to pay attention to that. And,
exactly.
You know, there's an old maxim in sports that the best officiated games are where you're not even aware that the referees or umpires are there, that it's sort of a seamless situation and nobody gets upset and there's nobody is screaming or yelling. But as you just said, you know, we have to have an appreciation and a sense of reality that, yeah, there are two teams competing, and there's another team out there which is also competing, those being the officials and referees. And if you make it so untenable and so unpleasant, and just like these guys are going to say, why am I doing this? It's just supposed to be, as you said, a release from the everyday, you know, ups and downs and traumas of one's life. And it's fun to go out and officiate a high school basketball game or baseball or softball game. And all of a sudden, this is not fun anymore. And this becomes like a personal confrontation. It's just inexplicable. And the concern is, you know, people are start saying, I don't want to do this anymore. Why would I do that? I'll find some other outlet for my daily trauma that I deal with in my regular job, whether it's you know, just working in a factory or working as a doctor or as a nurse or in the military. I'll find some other way to find a release. But it's dire. It is dire.
We have great men and women that are serving sports as officials. And if folks would just be willing to, you know, you just said a word that I changed. Confrontation is a word that I always think that conjures up a negative. I change it. I use the word carefrontation. I carefront. I confront because I care. So I call it carefrontation.
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, but it's just a real concern. As you said, I mean, you have a talent that you exhibited whether maybe it was the way you were trained as a state trooper or when you were undercover, you know, many years ago, or working in the NBA or working with, you know, irate players or coaches, you found a way, as you said, with this carefrontation, where you let it know that, you know, hey, if I made a mistake, hey, I kicked that call. I'm sorry. We'll get the next one. But for some reason, the fans, the sports parents, don't see that. They don't understand that. They may have learned about it when they were kids growing up, but these days they just say, well, I got to do the best I can to protect and defend my own kid and their best interest. And that's where we're going sideways. And it's everywhere. I mean,
yeah, it's everywhere in society. And, you know, all these kinds of things that we're talking about, it's like, we've got to figure out ways to allow these conversations to be had in a mature adult way, but also there has to be accountability when you step outside those lines, right? I mean, one of the things that was great for me when I came out from doing the undercover work, I was on the street and there were no boundaries and no rules. And then I got to be involved with a game and started officiating a game that had rules and boundaries. And it gave me a sense of inner peace. And sports gives inner peace to folks. When you really start looking into it, it's a release that takes place in our society. And I think we've lost sight of that.
Yeah.
And we need to refocus. And there's some education and awareness programs that need to be had, I think, just as you're suggesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Obviously, we have to do a reset. We have to somehow, as a nation who loves sports, we've got to get the parents, coaches, everybody. And as you said early on, Bob, and I want to come back to this, the kids are the ones who see their parents in the stands, and the kids get embarrassed. They have no place to hide, but they can see that mom and dad is, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, and it's just the kids are embarrassed. The problem is the kids think that's appropriate behavior, and it starts at such an early age, and it seems to be unfortunately ingrained into where we are these days. It is really a hassle. Hey, look, Bob, I just want to thank you again profusely. You had such a great talk this morning, answering all these questions, which are tough questions. And obviously, anybody who's a sports parent or a coach or athletic administrator knows that's just the reality of what's going on. And it's just a real honor to have a chance to chat with you about this and your book, Heroes Are Human, Lessons in Resilience, Courage, and Wisdom from the COVID Front Lines, by Bob Delaney with Dave Schreiber. It's a terrific book, and there obviously it's a lot of parallels from that book and those people in the trenches and what's happening now with referees. And the book is published by City Point Press. You can find it in stores now or buy it online on Amazon. Bob, thank you again. Really, really a treat to talk to you.
Rick, a pleasure to be with you. Stay safe.
You too. Thanks again. Again, it's Bob Delaney, longtime NBA referee, and before that he was a New Jersey State Trooper who was very successful as an undercover cop as well. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks to the Zoo Man. NFL preview is up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.